Don't miss the OTR Super Sprint, SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park, 24th to the 26th of August. Get your tickets at thebend.com.au. On Triple M's Ruined It for Breakfast, it's comedian and five-star jerk, Lawrence the Moon Man Mooney.
Move on, mate, and just do your Malcolm Turnbull impersonation.
It's Lawrence Mooney!
Oh, Moons, you got a big announcement.
Yes, I am coming to One Night in September.
Hey,
you beauty. First one, and I'm looking forward to it. What a huge month September is for Aussie Rules fan and for Triple M listeners. And I'm coming to Adelaide. I'm going to be part of it. So look out.
Well, it is huge. Brian Taylor, Wayne Carey, who we're speaking to this morning as well.
The Duck.
The Duck. Rory Sloane, Tex Walker, Brad Ebert, Charlie Dixon, Jars, Louis, Ditz. Everyone's going to be there, Moons, including you. Thank God for that. Well done.
And you too, a legend. Roo, you'll be there.
Yes.
And I believe there's some frothies available, as Billy would say.
Well, that's your payment. That's what we've been holding off on. We had to get it okayed. So we've got that carton. And so now we can get it. And we've got the advertiser coming down to critique your performance too.
Yeah.
Great. All right, they love me at the Addy.
Yeah. Hey, what have you been up to this week, Moons?
Well, I did a night for an organisation that does pathways for school kids. Talking about careers. And so I started reflecting on my time at school.
Right.
And basically that's how I discovered I was a comedian because, you know, you make the class laugh and you get that bug and it's like, oh, I like this. I'm going to keep doing this for a living. And so I went through the teachers that I used to torture. And we've always got favourite teachers. Father Barry, our Latin teacher, he was from Northern Ireland. He sounded like he was a member of the IRA. He'd say, Mooney, stand up. Do you think you're a clown in a circus? And then he kicked me out of the class. And my big one day stood me up and he goes, do you think you're a clown in a circus? And I went,
That would have ended up in the cane, surely.
Then he pulled a machine gun out.
that's right. It blew my leg off. So that got the class. But my favourite one of all was Eng Seng Ong, was my science teacher. And probably once or twice a year, Eng was from Malaysia and he had English as a second language. So he would always say, Mooney, I can be a good guy or I can be a bastard. Make me a bastard, please. And once or twice a year, I'd always say, put my hand up and he'd go, yeah, Mooney. And I'd say, strong the solar system. Got so many questions about it. But what is the diameter of Uranus?
And he's just going, oh, no, Moons.
Get out, Mooney. Why do you do that? that was a big finisher. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, the kids would have hung on every word then if that was how your speech went. That was great. Good, good
and
preparation
I can
for life.
The diameter of Uranus is 54,000 kilometres, which is massive.
Hey, Moons, is your lovely wife going overseas again?
She has gone overseas again, which means my mother-in-law will be moving in to look after my five-year-old Maggie whilst I'm out, you know, hunter-gatherer, bringing home the bacon, talking for a living, which means, I'm on the loose for 10 days, but I have warned Chris this time around not to sling her massive potato strainers over the edge of the shower like last time.
Let her do what she wants as long as she doesn't annoy you.
I'll cut her some slack, but it really is an image you can't get out of your head.
No. Hey, good on you, Moons. Thanks for joining us and well done for coming to One Night in September, mate. Thanks so much. We look forward to it.
Have a great weekend, everyone.
Good on you, mate. Any highlights this week, Roo?
No, just usual low lights.
All right, well, let's find out.
The top five things we've learned on Ruined Dits this week.
Number five, somebody called up and we learnt about a new drinking game.
So I'd just like to complain about Chris Tipmale's call on the football on the weekend.
What did he do wrong?
Well, every time he calls the football, I don't make it past half time.
Why?
Every time he says the word now, you have to take a drink.
You got a game that you play at your place?
Yeah, whenever Chris Tipmale says the word now in his call of the football, you have to take a drink.
Let's have a listen and see how much Dits says the word now.
And the D's now. Kicks it to the goal square now, in the middle of the ground now. Kennedy Harris throwing now a couple of metres around from the behind post. Kelly now on the end of some good work from Lynch. Crows now through Luke Brown. Garland it is. Now they kick towards the front of the goal square. Now this is a big kick coming up. Frost comes in for Melbourne now. Oh, Jacobs now. Oh, Jetta now. Melbourne now. So Hogan now.
I've never ever... It's funny until someone points that out.
Anonymous, who picked it up? You or one of your mates?
I was one of my mates pulled it out. He said, we're sitting down to watch the start of the game. He goes, we all drinking now? I'm like, what do you mean? And then he explained it to me.
Oh, no, you might have to change channels or just listen to a quarter or something, the Triple M.
Second half was every four, it was four of us, so every fourth one we had to have a drink. So we had to ration it out.
And who doesn't love a Dipmar Fat Boy Slim remix?
Now. Funk soul brother, check it out. Now.
Not sure about the Tiffany remix though.
Now.
Number four, we learnt about grandparents gone wild.
Two old German blokes escaped from a retirement village in Germany and took off for the weekend and went to a heavy metal concert. Hans and Fritz went to a rock music festival. Cannibal Corpse was one of the bands. Judas Priest. Red Hot Chili Peppers. They were rocking.
Give it away now.
I can see doing that.
And Gino had a great grandparents gone wild story.
My grand, she got banned from bingo for a week for arguing over a custard tart.
A custard tart.
She was pretty fiery when it came to bingo.
Oh, yeah.
Got a phone call saying that your nonna's upset a couple of people over an incident with a custard tart. So I had to explain to her that she wasn't allowed to go to bingo for a week.
Pig's ass, I'm not allowed to go to bingo.
Bingo!
Number three, we learnt about potential offshore drilling in the Great Australian Bight.
There's talk about the tuna industry saying, you know, they need to have a look at all the environmental reports and studies.
But Ditz reckons the tuna will be fine.
If there are pylons or if there's a structure in the water, they'll swim around it. What's it going to matter if we put and start drilling for oil there?
Oh, no. Well, if you have a spill,
they'll go around it.
Yeah, the Exxon Valdez spill in the 80s only affected 28,000 square kilometres. Surely the tuna can swim around that.
They'll go around it.
You've seen some of the big spills in America where it's just a catastrophe.
Yeah, that clean it up.
There is nothing out there. All there is sea and birds and fish.
And?
And 20,000 tonnes of crude oil.
Anyway, let's get an expert on to clear it up.
Happy Valley. G'day, Sean.
Just wanted to maybe just educate you a little bit on the tuna fish thing.
Oh, hang on.
Are you aware, on the East Coast, they'll only swim as far as Brisbane.
Right.
Because they don't want to end up in Cairns.
don't ever ring again, Sean. Queensland tuna that don't go past Brisbane.
Yeah. No, you missed his joke. They don't want to end up in Cairns.
Oh, no.
Oh, so are you fair dinkum?
Yes, I didn't. You sorry, missed, I only got
that was his joke. Boom, boom. Boom, boom.
Very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
Number two, Chris Dittmar and Taylor Walker don't always see eye to eye.
How does he sleep at night?
You get what you deserve.
When is this going to stop? But you started all this.
Yeah.
You're always doing something. You put Laxette in my coffee, you d***head.
It wasn't me that did it, Chris.
Well, it was. So, Taylor.
But this week we learnt they may have finally agreed on something. The contentious Josh Jenkins showdown goal.
My theory is that if it did hit the inside of the right post, it either keeps its line or goes to the right.
What you're saying is if it had have touched the post, it wouldn't then been left around behind the post. I like your theory. I think it makes sense.
I'm absolutely rapt. This is the first time we've ever agreed on something.
I'm feeling crook.
It's not from that.
It's from the coffee.
I'm sure Tex and Ditz will live happily ever after. Number one, we learnt it was time for another
Ditz rant.
Let's spin the Chris Dittmar rant wheel and see where it lands.
Was it the Catholic Church?
No, women's footy at the moment. No, not
the AFL.
Well, they're always in my
smokers.
In my gun.
Drugs.
No, today it's high vis.
It's landed on Oc Health and Safety.
Oc Health and Safety, or WorkSafe, has gone absolutely crazily out of control.
What do you mean?
There's a great photo online today of 14 people in high-vis and hard hats standing around looking at a hole in the road.
14. What do you mean looking at a hole?
They've dug a hole and there's 14 people. One's called Hole Inspector and one's called Hole Coordinator.
Isn't a hole inspector just a proctologist?
When I see 14 blokes looking at a hole in the road...
Someone called a chief hole inspector...
Yeah, you've got to ask questions, don't you?
Yeah, I would have thought...
Well, I know who dug the hole.
Dale dug a hole.
Like the time I dug a hole.
Good on you, Dale.
The top five things we've learned on Ruin Dits this week.
Gold Dits. Well done. Love your rants. We all love your rants, in fact, Dits. Do them more often.
6.11 Ruin Dits here on Triple M Making News, Roo. Front page story of the Advertiser today is about tunnels along South Road.
Yeah, a couple of tunnels potentially. actually, to finish off the massive project that we're doing on South Road to make it non-stop. They're talking about two tunnels, one 5K long from Anzac Highway down to Darlington, and the other one from the River Torrens to Anzac Highway down the other end at Torrens Road. So
that'll stop the rock throwers.
Very good way to stop the rock throwers. They will have to be really tricky to be able to do that in that section.
Roo, we are the only city in Australia without a freeway system. Well, we've got, obviously, Southeastern Freeway, but that fixes up the hills and gets you out to Murray Bridge.
Northern Expressway.
Northern Expressway, but again, that's out of the suburbs and gets you up north, which is, all of these are great roads, by the way.
They are.
And Southern Expressway.
Roads.
But we haven't got a freeway system through our city, which, like Perth has, Sydney, Melbourne, Brisbane, all of them have, and we're the only one that hasn't. So, I don't know, it's probably about time we headed down this path and had a real big north-south connecting road.
Yeah, well, that's why they're doing this whole development, but whether we need tunnels or not, or whether we can just continue on doing what we're meant to be doing and just building a road like we are, I don't know.
The only thing is, it's about, for what they've done on South Road so far, you've got to acquire land, don't you? And it is disruptive to a lot of people.
Yeah, but haven't they they've done it all, haven't they?
Well, no, I'm just saying, if you did these tunnels, if it was above ground, you'd be getting rid of more people and their businesses and their land, wouldn't you, or not?
Yeah, oh, well, I don't know. I don't know if they've already bought all the houses anyway. I presume they have. But anyway, tunnels will be a lot more expensive, and we'll try and find out a little bit later on whether it's viable or not.
It's revolutionised the Adelaide Hills, hasn't it? The Heisen Tunnels made it incredible to get through
the
hills.
Absolutely brilliant. Yeah. Maybe we'll see if Frank Pangello can do the economic study on this one for us.
Okay.
He might be able to
finished with KI?
He might be able to build a tunnel to Kangaroo Island.
Ah,
yep. Righto. Be good for the penguins to cruise along. Righto.
Now, as you know, we've talked all week about the Andrew Gaff situation, the biggest gaff of his career, you could say.
Yep.
Andrew Brayshaw has spoken out for the first time.
I actually look forward to meeting him. I want to hear it from his perspective and just see what was going through his head and the person that Andrew Gaff is. I forgive him, and I'm not going to hold a grudge against him as a person. A good man making a bad error, I don't think deserves to be put under any more scrutiny. He's living with the weight of what has happened on his shoulders for I don't know how long, but I just definitely want to move on from this and not take it any further, and I don't think it should.
Yeah, that was from a 17-minute story on Today Tonight. One thing he did say, Ditz, is his four or five teeth that he's had punched out, he's been told by the dentist there's every chance that at any stage in the not-too-distant future that they could just be black and just be dead because of the nerves that go there. So... yeah, there's a he might
that
have,
would
to
be terrible.
Have a few issues going forward.
Mm.
Certainly had a bit of press, hasn't it?
What have you got, Roo?
AGL, second record profit, Ditz, on the back of all our power bills that we pay.
Yeah.
Up just a lazy 28% year on
28.
Year. I wouldn't mind 28% growth in my business.
How is all of this justified? How is our government not stepping in?
It's a disgrace.
When is too much profit too much profit?
Well, this the whole power thing is just a disgrace. It is just stifling business, stifling employment, stifling a way of living for every single Australian.
Now, Roo,
we've got less money in our pockets at the end of the week. You can't go and splash any money on your family or your kids or holidays because power bills are just sucking everyone dry, and it's unnecessary and it's disgraceful.
Roo, if you and I own a business and you've been in business for a long, long time, people vote with their feet. If what you're offering is too expensive, people say, well, I'll go to a pub down the road or whatever business it is you're in. Could be if steel blue boots are too expensive, we'll go and buy something else. Yeah. You can actually make that decision.
Yeah.
We can't with this. And why can't the ACCC come in and say, you are taking the absolute mickey here.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know how they can do that, but we should never be in the position where those businesses have so much power, Ditz, so to speak.
This is outrageous.
Oh, it is. It's just ridiculous. And it's costing people jobs. It's costing Australia because we're not competitive with the rest of the world as well.
As well as water. As well as water, this is the single biggest issue in our country.
Mm.
And it's very easy to pot governments, but I reckon they've been a bit inactive with this.
Oh, they've
done bugger all.
Seriously.
Absolutely bugger all. Anyway, 7:42. I always love it, Roo, when the WAG comes bounding into the studio. She's got something for us. What's happening, WAG?
Could be,
It was just a really good story that tickled my fancy. It's this dude that owns a big company and they sell appliances online.
Right.
Mm. And he made a typo when he was putting one of his appliances online and lost $100,000 in a matter of days.
What?
No, 12 hours.
How? What, because he... What, pumped in the wrong price or something?
Yeah, he put the wrong price into his own website and instead of putting $800, he put like $200 and lost $100,000 in 12 hours.
$100,000 grand.
Shit, is that's that, a fair bit. That'd be $100,000.
$100,000 or $100,000. So, right. Okay. Alice, you'd do those sort of mistakes.
Alice, aren't you? Can't he go back and say, oh, hang on, everyone, that was the wrong price? Mm. Or... Are they the rules?
That's the rules. I think with online shopping, like there was a, it happened a few months ago. RM Williams accidentally had 50% off their entire website when they meant to do just like shirts or something.
Okay.
Wow. So everyone bought all those boots that are worth $500 for $250 and you can't renege on it because you've taken the money out of the account.
Ooh.
It's all automatic.
The old typos, you got to double check dits, you got to triple check. You can't be sending stuff out and making mistakes.
What did your mum send you after your holidays?
I got off the plane. I texted her. I was like, oh, I've got the bloody sniffles. You know how you get off the plane and you're always a bit clogged up? And she wrote back, you always get dick after holidays.
Oh, what?
But she meant to write, you always get sick after holidays.
Oh, the old, what do they call it, preemptive texting or?
Bit personal, mum.
But it's a bit scary because it means she writes was that dick more than sick.
Does that fix a blocked nose, does it?
Oh, gee.
All right. What about your lady down the soccer club?
I've sold this one a couple of times, but I think it is worth repeating because Anne Nagel, if you're listening this morning.
Oh, you've dobbed the ring.
Lovely Anne. She was the team manager. And we had our end of season ball for the soccer club a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
And we needed to obviously finalise numbers. And her corrective text, she went to send out to all of the players who's bringing their partner Saturday night. And
who's bringing their partner on Saturday night?
Who's banging their partner Saturday night?
Oh, that's a rather personal question,
yeah,
Anne.
So they got a fair reaction.
Thanks, Anne. Good stuff. Well, let's see if there's anyone out there who's done any typos that have cost them. 1-3-3-5-3. We've got some tickets to Port and West Coast.
Yes.
It's going to be huge
big
tomorrow
game.
Afternoon.
Yep.
Absolutely
tell us,
huge.
Tell us about your faux pas, your typo. 1-3-3-5-3. Ruined it's on Triple M. 7:48 typos that get you into trouble.
Oh, yeah. Let's go to Mount Barker. G'day, Tracy.
Good morning. How are you?
What mistake have you made?
Well, years ago, I worked for a rural newspaper, and we had the mayor had a public opening of an event at the art gallery.
Yeah.
And we put in on the front page the mayor's pubic opening.
Pubic opening. would have had a small roll up to that one, I would have thought.
Yeah, we did have to destroy the newspapers. However, I think a few survived.
Oh, good on you, Tracy.
You'd have to be the NT newspaper to get away with that.
That's the goal.
Let's go to Bridgewater. G'day, Mark.
G'day, boys. How are we?
Good. What's your typo?
As little as yesterday morning, for 1.5 hours, people could log on to our furniture website and pick up a 1999 mattress, which was supposed to save $200, but instead we put the mattress out for $200, saved $17.99.
Oh, what business is this? Are you happy to say, or?
A large furniture company, Australia-wide.
Did you get done?
We had to honour. Yeah, we got one of our stores got rid of two, and I'm pretty sure SA in total got six done.
Six. So six lucky people saved nearly $1,800 yesterday.
100%, and geez, it was hard not to ring me mates and tell them.
Oh, a little inside job. Oh, beauty. All right,
on you, Mark.
Thanks for your honesty, Mark. Let's go to Aldenga Beach again. G'day, Julie.
Hi, how are you going?
What have you done with a little typo, Julie?
Well, it wasn't me, it was my sister, and it was back in the days when all the abbreviations came out, and she didn't know what LOL was, like laugh out loud.
Oh,
and
no.
One of her staff text in and said they won't be in today because they were going to a funeral. And she said, look, all the best at the funeral, LOL.
Oh! What'd she think it meant?
She's got lots of love.
Lots of love.
Yeah.
Oh, Julie. well, that's a good one, Julie. Thank you. Let's go to Croydon. G'day, Damien.
G'day, boys. How are you?
Good, mate. You got a good one?
Yeah, I think so. Had a day off, thought I'd do the right thing, cook the lovely lady some dinner.
Yeah.
So she sent me a text and, what are you up to? And thought a nice chicken dish would be all right.
Yeah.
Sent back what was meant to be I'm marinating the chicken, and he sent as I'm masturbating the chicken.
No. Oh, no.
What makes it even worse is we had just put a chicken coop in the backyard.
Oh, damn.
Oh, I bet you had tea by yourself that night.
Oh, yeah, she was a bit cautious.
Oh, a bit of a creamy
sauce. Good on you, Damon.
All right, good work.
Hey, that's a crack field.
Oh, Damien's going to win that. You can't be masturbating.
Oh, gee, I like Tracy's pubic opening.
Yeah, but masturbating on a chicken, you know, you can't have it. Yeah, we can find a couple of doubles.
Righto, two winners, because I like Tracy's I like Damien's.
Yeah, I like them both too, Dits. Mm. We've agreed on
that
something.
That chick's been following him around forever there.
Yeah, come here.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
I've always felt, you know, you grow up as a city when you finally have a freeway network, and we don't have one.
Well, we're
Perth,
not far away
Sydney,
now.
Melbourne, Brisbane, they've all got one.
Yeah.
And we don't.
We're not far off it.
So South Road's obviously had a couple of underpasses added in recent times.
Yep.
The paper says today about having tunnels so that you can basically drive all the way from the CBD all the way down south.
Yep.
And meet up with the Southern Expressway. Heading north, we've now got the Northern Expressway. So we're getting there. We're getting there.
We sure are.
Is this story accurate? Can it actually happen? Let's go to the Minister for Infrastructure, Stefan Knoll. Good morning, Stefan.
Morning, Rowan Ditt.
Good. How accurate is this story?
Well, it's pretty accurate. There's a tender that's going out today with exactly these conditions on it. Essentially, there's an 11-kilometre stretch of this road that's unfinished to deliver this sort of 78-kilometre continuous north-south corridor. And digging a tunnel is an idea that's been looked at in the past and discounted, but technology's moved forward. And there's a real opportunity now to discuss whether this is, you know, a viable solution for this problem.
Okay, so better technology, which means it's cheaper. Is it still realistic, though? Can we afford to have 2 5-kilometre-long tunnels in Adelaide?
Well, the project as it currently stands is billions of dollars. The suggestion is that tunnels can be comparable, and that's what we're, in terms of cost, and that's what we're looking at. And really, the work that we want to do between here and the end of the year is about delivering a decent pipeline of infrastructure out into the further out years, but also providing those workers, those tradies who work along the existing, who are doing the existing work at the Northern Connector, Darlington and the Torrens to Torrens, making sure that for them and their families that they know that they've got work for years to come.
Don't get Frank Pangello to do the pricing for you, Stephen, after that bridge one he just come up with. But
$5 billion price tag? Yeah. That sounds a bit steep.
So are tunnels realistic? I mean, I guess the first question is why tunnels as opposed to above ground?
So the tunnels are being dug interstate more and more often. They're more and more often being used as a solution. And that's, again, that's where the technology is improving. But you also get some really good things happen on the above the ground. So for all those businesses and households that live along the existing South Road, which is the bit that we're trying to make continuous, it means that we wouldn't have to acquire those properties.
Yep.
It means that they'd actually see an uplift in the value of their houses. It means that we could do some more residential development above ground. So there's a whole heap of things to explore as part of whether we dig tunnels or do it on the surface. But having said that, we're putting it out there. We want to get the experts' advice. We want to make sure we're talking about billions of dollars of your money, and we want to make sure we're spending it properly.
So you haven't actually even purchased those properties. Surely you've done a deal on all those by now, wouldn't you? Or
no, well, and I mean, I've had a number of people write to me saying, hey, what's going on? But we could talk about this work still being years and years into the future. So,
right.
And the design of these things changes quite often. So and I know one of the key things we're trying to do by coming to an answer on this is providing some certainty to those people that live along that road about what's going to happen to their place.
All right. Good stuff.
Yep. Thanks, Stefan. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, boys.
Good on you. Stefan Knoll, Minister for Infrastructure. I'm all for progress in this place, Roo. I know they cost money, these things, but
well, why wouldn't you have a look at it now if you haven't decided on it and there's better technology, Dits? You know, this is going to be a massive connector, north-south, so get it right while we can.
Ruin Dits for breakfast. 104.7 Triple M.
If you do that in the street, you're obviously going to cop a whack, but because you're on a footy field, you know you're not going to get too much retaliation. So that's why I'd rather, guys, if you're going to play physical, hit a guy when you're in front or bump him when you're in front of him, and then that's a better act for me. Than for me, I think we've got a pretty clean game at the moment, and not too many occasions where punches have actually been thrown.
What's that slimy grab you just played?
Right, so he was asked the question last night about punches is it time to get rid of behind the play punches in AFL? Now, we see this a lot. These are those little...
Shouldn't have punches full stop.
Yeah, but you know the ones we're talking about, the little ones where it's in the chest or it's a jumper punch to the chin or... Yeah. A lot of people in the last year or two have been hit in the stomach, haven't they?
Yeah. And the cameras show them. That's been happening forever.
And the cameras show it and nothing's done. Now,
on the surface... They get a $1,500 fine. And you know what? Players go, whoopee.
Tough people listening this morning, oh, come on, they're only little punches. What are you worried about? But the players are actually saying now, just get rid of them totally. And Sloane said, it's a pain in the backside, you know. And so where I'm going with this, Roo, is I think we shouldn't be targeting that punch because I think the weekend was a result of, and I'm not having a crack at Andrew Brayshaw, he's only doing what every other player does, but he was in Gaff's face, wasn't he? You could see three times he tried to stop him running down the wing. So he's facing backwards. He's not facing the play. He's facing Andrew Gaffin, harassing him, getting in his space, getting in his face. And what happens in the end is that the champion player, and over the years we've seen Greg Williams, and he's admitted that when he was out there getting his 40 touches a week, the taggers were doing everything to him. And in the end, he'd go, listen, I've had enough of this.
Bang, retaliate.
And hit you.
Yep.
So what I'm suggesting is the AFL really, really right now, don't target that punch because the punch won't happen if we get rid of the tagging, scragging, cheating players. And I call them cheats. Cameron Ling was the worst player in the competition. I hated what he did and how he played.
You can't say that about Lingy. He wasn't the worst player. He was a good player.
Rue, he deliberately went out and antagonised everyone.
He played within the rules most of the time.
No, he didn't. You look at footage of Cameron Ling holding people, getting in a bear hug. That's not fair.
I know, but this
is the problem. You're going to go bang and hit a bloke.
Well, what the problem is, Ditz, you're right. So taggers will get away. Taggers will do whatever they're allowed to get away with, right? Yeah. So if they're officiated a lot smarter and a lot more attentive to the blokes that they know are getting attention from the opposition and they pay free kicks from the start of the game, they will drop off and do it and everything will be clean. If they let the taggers scrag, hold on, pinch, get in the way, step on their boots, do all the stuff they're technically not allowed to do, then they will keep doing it.
So then you
will annoy players.
So then eventually in about the third quarter, you go out a gutful of this bang, you then get in trouble, and the tagger continues every week to be a shocking player.
Good players have been saying this for 20 or 30 years. I used to say it all the time, and I'd say, well, that's why I end up, you know, I put Kari in a headlock sometime and try and choke him.
Oh, hang on, now you've gone too far. You touched Josh Kari, you've gone too far.
Well, that's what you do. You end up getting, for me it was like, well, mate, if that was off the field, you'd be in a world of trouble, all right? Mm. But because you're on the field, all I can do is put you in a headlock and sort of half teach you a lesson and not get suspended. But it'd make you want to absolutely belt them.
See, I'm all for hard footy, but if you're standing at a centre bounce and Cameron Ling's got you in a bear hug, that's wrong.
Yeah.
It shouldn't happen.
What people were saying, it's like different to playing half forward and half back. You've got an opponent. It's not that the fact that you've got an opponent. It's the fact that they're getting away with holding on to your jumper, restricting you being able to run and play decent footy. I've been saying, why would you have taggers in the game? Like, they are the most of them are nearly the last bloke picked in their team, the true taggers that just stop players. Why would you have them stopping Dustin Martin? Dustin Martin had one of the great all-time years last year because he actually didn't get tagged that much and he was out there playing good footy. We haven't had taggers much in football lately, and the best players play the best footy and they're great to watch and it's brilliant for the game. Mm. Why would you want taggers, the worst players in the side? No disrespect to them, but that's the reality. It's They're there to try and stop them because they can't do it themselves. Why would you want them out there holding back the best talent on show?
Mm. Well, that's my point.
And in the end, smacking someone in the head.
So what I'm saying right now is the question yesterday about
umpire better.
Should we be doing something about the punch? I'd put the cart before the horse. No, do something about the taggers.
Exactly.
And there won't be
punches. You got three umpires there. Yeah. There's only one bloke who gets tagged in a game, maybe two.
Yep.
And you got three umpires. Watch what they're doing.
Did you just agree with me?
Yes.
Crikey.
It only took you 20 years to listen to me.
Open the champagne.
I said it for 20 years ago.
That's it for today. I'm happy now.
The good old Ramsgate wouldn't have even happened if they umpired properly.
Is that what that was about?
Of course it was. Curry was being a pain in the backside to me.
What, even when you were playing eight ball at the pub? He was still tagging you, was he?
No, but I just thought I'd sort it out off the field there instead.
Right-o. There you go.
Come on, umpires, do your job.
Big weekend of footy coming up, Roo. Both of our sides, very important games.
Yeah, there's some huge games. Hawthorn and Geelong, massive game. It's Melbourne and Sydney, massive game. Crows, GWS, huge, and obviously Port Adelaide and West Coast. Let's have a look at that one first. We know all about Gaff. We know he's out. We also know Josh Kennedy's not coming over. We know Nick Natanui's got a knee injury, but we know that West Coast Eagles, since Adelaide Oval's been built, have played at Port Adelaide four times and won them all. It's a strange statistic, that one, but it's real. That doesn't mean anything going into the weekend, though, and Port Adelaide need to rebound. They lost three out of their last four.
They have. Said yesterday, I didn't think they'd drop Power Pepper, but they did. They have. They've sent him back.
Especially in wet conditions tomorrow. It's going to rain today and tomorrow.
Is it?
It's got bulldozers like him written all over it. But he's out. Riley Bonner, he's been dropped as well. Aidan Johnson will get a run back there. And Sam Gray, who I'm surprised he was out to start with, to be honest. I reckon he's a good player.
Adds a bit of goal-kicking power around the goal mouth.
Need to find some avenues to Goldport other than Charlie Dixon, because he'll probably have a reasonably tough day on Barris and McGovern down there. They're good defenders. And they'll need Robbie Gray to kick goals again.
Wingard, Sam Gray.
Yeah, they can't rely on Farrell kicking another three, I wouldn't have thought. So, huge game for Port Adelaide, Dits, and they need to win. A bit of talk about Scotty Lysette, Dits, might be coming. He plays for West Coast Eagles.
I know that.
There's a lot of talk about Lysette coming back to Port Adelaide.
See, I would have thought with Nick Nat going down, surely West Coast can up the ante there in a big way, can't they?
Yeah, they can.
But you reckon he wants to come back?
Depends if he wants to come back to Adelaide. I think there's a few clubs chasing him. Let's move on to GWS and Adelaide. This is a huge game. You'd think when you saw the outs of Taylor, who's an underrated defender, he's a good defender. It's for Dawson Simpson, their number one ruckman, Delidio, who's just been a star, and Toby Green, one of the best players in the comp. You'd think, gee, Adelaide, that's good luck for them. But the ins for GWS, Taranto, who's a gun young player, Dylan Shear, one of the best players in the comp, and Ryan Griffin. So they've just got so much depth. Adelaide were interesting. Ditz Talia didn't come up, and Riley Knight didn't come up. So two good players out. Chaney comes back in. He'll play Talia's role. And also Douglas back in. So a couple of good players out, a couple of good players in. So haven't improved their side. And surprisingly, they didn't pick Mitch McGovern. Made him play in the SANFL. So,
that is a surprise.
Yeah, so he has probably only played two games in 12. So probably thinks he's a bit short of a run.
Yeah.
Huge game. Adelaide lose all over. Win. Still a very small chance of making finals, even if they win the way it's going to finish this year.
And as you said, with those other games, gee, it's a good weekend of footy coming
great
up.
Great weekend of footy
Which
coming
game's
up.
On tonight?
Essendon and St Kilda, so Essendon should get the job done there.
So watch a move, watch an Elvis movie or something.
Yeah, watch the first quarter and see what happens after
that. All right, 6:28, Ruined It's here on Triple M. There you go.
Come on, umpires, do your job.
8:42, Ruined It's here on Triple M. As you know, we've got one night in September coming up, Roo, plus a big weekend of footy, so we thought we'd better get this fella on because he's the headline act for one night in September, along with your good self and Brian Taylor.
Let's get him on.
The Duck, Wayne Carey. Good morning.
G'day, guys. How are you?
Good. Now, I've got an important question for you first up, Duck, if that's all right. We just had a bit of a dilemma here a moment ago. Roo and I had to read the sporting news out of the news, and we couldn't find the script. And it turned out Roo had it turned upside down. He was writing our lotto numbers on the back of it. And when I said, Roo, maybe that bit of paper.
Jackpot tomorrow night.
I know, it's a jackpot. Now, I just thought I'd ask you this because he's running around the building this morning getting money off all of us. What's he like with his syndicates? You've had experience with him, haven't you?
Very profitable.
Just make sure you've got it in writing. That's all I'll
Well, it's on the back of the sports script here at the moment.
It'll be funny when we win. Duck, one night in September. Thanks for coming over and being part of this show. It's nearly sold out already, but BT's coming on. Lawrence Mooney's coming along for a few gags. Tex Walker, Rory Sloane, Brad Ebert, Charlie Dixon, Jars and Louis. So,
which means we need you to speak for about 3 minutes.
The IQ of the show is not very high at the moment.
But, well, it sounds like it's going to be a lot of fun. A lot of old has-beens, and more importantly, current day players, which is fantastic. Yeah. It's going to be a lot of fun. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, thanks for coming over and being part of that. Hey, Duck, last weekend was a ripping weekend, especially the first half of it. And this weekend, there's some cracking games as well. Let's start with Hawthorn and Geelong. That will be a beauty as well, won't it?
Yeah, elimination final for the Cats.
And, really?
And sort of for the Hawks as well. Well, the Cats have got two home games. They're currently out of the eight, as you boys would know.
Yep.
So they'll win. I reckon they'll win their last two at home. But if they don't win this one, they could miss out, the Cats. That is an intriguing. I mean, they're a good team, and let's be honest, we've had them penciled in for the whole year, and now they find themselves just outside the eight. This is a must win for them, but it's the same for the Hawks. I mean, if they lost this one and then, you know, dropped one of the last two, then they're in danger as well, and that's what's so fascinating about this year. We still don't know what the final eight's going to be.
What about Melbourne and Sydney? That's a tight one. What about this for a stat? Melbourne have played top nine sides on six occasions this year. They're zip and six against anyone higher than ninth on the ladder.
Yeah, it's a damning stat, isn't it? Not a good stat if you're a Demon supporter. What they have done this year, Roo, is they've smashed the teams below them, haven't they? I mean, they've really smashed the teams. But it's a real test for them, and they've got a tricky run home. I don't know who they've got next week, but I know they've got GWS in the last round.
Yep.
So they're must wins for Melbourne. I mean, if Melbourne win all three, they can finish in the top four. That's just the nature of the top eight at the moment. But you're right, this is a big test. Sydney,
they got West Coast away, Duck. They got Sydney this week, West Coast away, and GWS at home.
Well, you're probably, well, there you go. They're probably favourites this week just because of how Sydney are going, and then they're probably the underdogs in the next two. So it is a tricky run for them home, and so this week very, very important, especially getting Sydney at the moment. I mean, they're limping around the park, a lot of injuries, so you'd expect Melbourne to get the job done this week.
If we look a few weeks ahead, you'd say that all the experts have got Richmond as the absolute outstanding favourite to win the flag, but who's the team that you think can challenge them on the day?
Look, I think what the last 2 years have proven that you only have to play three good games. You have to find form in the finals, and I honestly believe, I'm a believer that if you make the eight, you can win it. Yep. So I definitely don't think Richmond are over the line. I mean, Richmond proved last year you can be the underdog and win, as the Bulldogs did the year before. So if Richmond get there, and I expect that they will, the team that they play, as Roo knows, I think way back to 1998, I know a team that was red hot favourites and got beaten by the Adelaide Crows. And so anything can happen on that day. So they're not over the line, but tell you what, they're just an even football team. You look at their stat sheet. When you're giving out the best players when the Tigers play, you actually can't find a best player for Richmond. I mean, last year was different because Dusty was outstanding and, you know, heads and shoulders above everyone else. But it's just so hard. The stat sheet reads 24, 25, 28 possessions.
Mm.
Last week, Geelong had five players that were 30-plus. Richmond had none.
Bit top heavy, aren't they, the Cats? Hey, next week, Doug. If you got nothing on next weekend, we're celebrating our 20th year anniversary for when we beat you in that grand final. If you want to come over, because you said you won three flags, two for North Melbourne and one for Adelaide. So
it'd be fair to say, Rupert, I contributed a fair bit to that one.
Yeah, kicking 1-5 probably helped us win. Actually, so
I probably should come over and be a special guest. Peter Caven thought he played a good game that day. I'd kick six goals.
You would have been Norm Smith.
He must have been good on the mark, though, was he? He put you off.
You know what? Peter should have won a Brownlow for standing on the mark.
All right, Doug.
Hey, they're not getting carried away at all either. They're having it in a cinema. They're loading
that's
up a Monday. Bloody
that's
cinema.
That's just to start the week off. We've got to make the most of it. We haven't won a flag for 20 years.
God.
Come on, Rupert. What are you going to watch a movie?
Yeah.
We're going to watch the replay.
Going to watch the replay.
Oh, the replay. Oh, that'd be right. By the way, just put the second half on, Roo, not the first.
Yeah, exactly right. Just get straight to the good bit. All
hey,
right,
thanks
Doug.
For joining us, and we look forward to seeing you in one night in September as well. Wayne Carey.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks, Ducko.
Well done. Roo and Ditz here on Triple M.
You haven't missed Roo and Ditz, so don't miss SA's newest supercar event at the Bend Motorsport Park. Tickets at thebend.com.au.